I believe you are meant to live a life with purpose and live that purpose with full joy. I believe that becoming the best version of you is possible and achievable with small and simple steps. That you can live full and deep, and you can give others your best in motherhood, career, and any other endeavor you take on, as you take care of the vessel you've been given. And by gracefully balancing body and mind, this is all possible. Through fitness, nutrition, diet, and optimal mental health, you can fully serve that purpose you were created for and be a light to others along their way. Adagio Fit's Clarissa Explains It All is dedicated to helping you restore and keep that balance. I'm Clarissa Thomas, your personal health coach and trainer here at Adagio Fit, and your host for this podcast. Welcome to podcast 17, Thoughts from This Magnificent Messy Life, a field guide by Janine Roth. You guys, I've loved doing my macros class with you this past week. You are all rock stars and have great insights into how you want to better yourself. I am always amazed, even though I shouldn't be by now, but that as we listen to our bodies, they don't lie. We just learn to distrust ourselves over time. Ooh, maybe I should do a class on self-trust. I think that would be a really great class. I have two more classes coming up in July, another macros basics class, and then a class on self-love. Sign up on our site today because class is free, but only until a week before class. And then the price goes up to $10 a class. It's totally still worth it though. And between the freebies and the material that you will be given in class, it will definitely be worth your time. Did you guys enjoy the Q&A from last week? I know that I did. And what I'm finding is that a lot of the questions I get start repeating themselves, but just from like slightly different angles. So it's great to get that repetition and to see, for you to see that in all situations, what we think and what we feel lead to our actions and our results about that situation. Today on the podcast, I want to share with you thoughts from a book I recently read. I first heard of Janine Roth on the podcast that I love called Good Life Project, and she was interviewed, and I felt that she put into words what I've always felt, and that was no matter how much yoga and meditation that she has done throughout the years, that she still always has voices in her head of shame and that they have always been there. And I felt like for the first time, somebody explained how I have felt since I was a little girl. And I'm going to link to that podcast in the show notes. But I want to kind of go over some of her notes from the book that I read, This Messy Magnificent Life. And it's her latest publish. And I really enjoyed reading it. I felt like it was really insightful. And I gleaned from it what I felt like I needed. And I would love to share those with you. All right, the first quote is, I realize that every time we stop eating when our bodies have had enough, we face a little death. We face emptiness, zip, even for a second, which is, of course, why people find binging, i.e. not stopping, so helpful, albeit excruciating. Binging, consistently eating beyond enough, is a way to not have to face that what we love ends. Ah, guys, isn't that so great? She then continues on. Today, at least, I put the spoon down and decided not to take a second helping. I sit at a table listening to the silence, the space between eating and not eating, between one breath and another. And in the quiet, which is another name for emptiness, I hear the sound of the wind in the live oak trees. I look up from the table and see the sun illuminating a square patch of kitchen floor. The background birdsong suddenly becomes foreground, and I realize once again that jewels are scattered everywhere, not just at the table, and only when I stop eating do I hear or see or know them. Isn't that so great about her saying that suddenly she became aware of things that were in the background, and when she really focused on them, that they were just as important as the feelings of fullness that food was giving her? And I love that she talks about how one of the reasons why we binge is the thought or the emotional feelings that we don't want to feel of, you know, that's over and that's done with, you know, a really good meal. We just keep eating. So I thought that that was really great. The next quote is on weight loss. Here it is. The million-dollar answer to the question of why weight loss is so difficult to maintain is that all along with the exaltation of being thin comes less positive feelings. The lightness that accompanies an unencumbered body feels vulnerable. And if we've used our weight in any way, even unconsciously, to keep us safe, the joy of weight loss can be overlaid by a wash of terror. In my experience, one of the unspoken reasons why many people don't maintain their weight loss is that they don't want to be thinner more than they want to stay protected or hidden. Ah, guys, like, I hear so many experiences of women who gain weight after like a rape because they put on that weight to give their body space so that their insidemost feelings are not touched. And I just thought that that was an extremely truthful and well said post about weight loss and why some of the reasons are that we choose not to have the result of weight loss because of our thinking and our feelings. Okay, here's the next one that is really good. I wish I could just read the whole book to you, but here's the next one about weight that's really good. And it's something that I teach my clients here. And it also goes along with what we think and what we feel leads to our actions and our results. Losing weight may indeed bring up fear of being overwhelmed by the very feelings you've used food to exile. But so what? Fear isn't a monster. It's a feeling. And like any feeling, it passes. Fear can be felt, held, dissolved by naming it, feeling its location in our bodies. Instead of avoiding fear, we can do what is counterintuitive. Welcome it. And notice that the part that allows the fear is much bigger than the fear itself. When we feel that fear, if we name it, if we accept it instead of resist it, that feeling washes through our body and our body releases that in a very peaceful way and we don't have that fear anymore. Another great one. I'm having a hard time picking the ones that I want to share. I don't know of a single woman, and I've been privileged to be allowed to entry into the inner lives of hundreds of thousands of them, who hasn't struggled with the size of her body. And when a woman's energy is tied up in judging her body, it ties up her power as well. So as we spend time judging ourselves, we are missing the power that we can use to influence others, the power that we can release to better the world around us, to be our best selves. So stop judging yourself. Okay, next one. There isn't a someday. There never was. No one has ever been to the future that you keep putting your life on hold for. All we ever have is now. And if you continually put your life on hold for what your life will be like tomorrow or next year, or when you finally lose that weight, you won't recognize that you already have what you want because you will have spent years training yourself to want, not have. I teach this to my clients in a way of that most of the time what we want, we think we have to do, then we have to have, and then we will be. And instead, we need to choose to be, then do, and then we will have. And when we put that be in front, when we choose to be confident, then we will be confident because our actions and our emotions will show that we are confident. But if we think that the actions and the results that we have, like, I won't be happy until, you hear that a lot, that somebody says they won't be happy until after they go through these things. Well, that's not true. You have to be happy first and then go through those things for a lasting happiness. So I love that she says we won't ever have a tomorrow, like that it's only today. Okay, here's one about hatred. Hatred is a scary word, a scary feeling for most people, and so we repress it. Or we imagine what would happen if we acted it out. We'd go on a killing rampage. We'd play high-speed bumper cars with the driver who just cut us off. We'd slice off somebody's head without blinking. We'd wring the neck of a neighbor's dog that whined all night. At its core, hatred is the desire to annihilate that which is causing us pain. In the misguided belief that if we could only incinerate what seems to be causing the pain, we would finally be at peace. All feuds, all wars, all acts of revenge are built on this principle, including our inner war with food and weight. Ah, isn't that so great that we think that our hatred's going to break that food and weight apart, that if we body shame ourselves, and I posted about this a couple weeks ago on my Instagram account, if we body shame ourselves, what good is that really going to do? We think that it will break us down so that we'll be strong and therefore we'll take action. But in all reality, it's not working. It's misguided belief. That's what she says. And I loved that. Here's another quote about resisting, which again, I teach my clients, and I have taught this in my self-love course that you can also sign up for as I teach it again, is about resisting and how damaging it can be. And I love this quote. It says, "All any feeling wants is to be welcomed with tenderness. It wants room to unfold. It wants to relax and tell its story. And the magic of this is that each time we turn toward rather than away from ourselves, the part of ourselves that is not our story arises." Spiritual teachers call that which has never not for one second been affected by anything that has ever happened true nature or presence of God. It is ageless and pure, responsive and full of potential. And what it feels like, what it always feels like, is that the noise in our minds has stopped. And for what may be the first time or for the 5,000th time, it doesn't matter. Anything is possible and we are free. Going on in her book, she talks a lot about those thoughts that she's had in her head of shame and frustration throughout her life, and self-loathing and hatred towards herself throughout her life. She called them her crazy aunts in the attic. So this quote has to do with that. She says, "Choosing not to believe the crazy aunts is like choosing not to diet. It's radical, frightening, and exhilarating because, let's face it, it's comforting to have a voice in your head that is absolutely certain about what's wrong and what's right, as well as what you need to do and eat to be loved, safe, and successful. And since most of us prefer to have company than to be alone, we don't question our loyalty to these decade-old instructors or the facts that we often find ourselves wandering in the twilight zone of worthlessness and despair. We keep choosing to stay loyal to our past and our parents' instructions rather than to be free. It takes courage to question our comparative judgments because we're not sure who we would be on the other side." Hi, isn't that so great that it's kind of a, it's radical to, I like that word, radical to not diet, to not listen to the thoughts in our head because we find it so comforting that somebody is up there rationalizing for us how we feel and all those emotions we feel. I love that. All right, here's another one that I really like. "In therapy, I learned that no and I don't want to are complete sentences, that being nice is overrated and that no feeling is intolerable. I learned that when I feel hurt or angry, it's always because one of my top three tunes is playing in the background of my mind. I'm a victim, I'm unworthy, and there's never enough. I thought therapy would delete these songs. It hasn't. Every time an old part is triggered, which admittedly happens less often, it feels exactly the same as it has for years. When, for instance, the I'm worthy part comes up, I'm an instant despondent 3-year-old with an unavailable platinum blonde mother who is walking out the door. And when the bitterness envy part is triggered, I act like a firecracker rolled in porcupine quills, demanding loud, dangerous, not someone you would invite to a dinner party." Haha, isn't that so great? She gives such illustrations with her words that I love that idea of like a firecracker rolled in porcupine quills, like just ready to blow at any second. And isn't that so true that most of the time when we are having major hurt feelings or angry feelings, it's because we're choosing to feel that we're a victim. We are choosing to feel that we're unworthy, and we're choosing to feel a lack of abundance in our lives. Ah, so true. All right, got just a couple more for you. Here's a really great one about complaining. "I stopped complaining to anyone about anything. I kept reminding myself of what I've heard years ago, that complaining about what has already happened is like eating rat poison and waiting for the rat to die." Ah, so good. Guys, it's all about how we think and it's all about how we feel. If you change our thoughts, if we change our thoughts, if we change how we feel, we can change anything about our life. We seriously can. I'm a true believer in that. And finally, this quote about something that isn't wrong. This is her chapter of what isn't wrong. "One sodden morning, The Buddhist monk changed topics from Buddhist sutras to toothaches. How many of you don't have a toothache right now? He asked. I can't remember whether everyone raised their hands, but there was definitely a quorum of non-toothache candidates in the room. Then he said, when we have a toothache, all we can think about is going to the dentist or taking medication to stop the pain. But when we don't have a toothache, we don't appreciate the many benefits of the non-toothache state. So please turn to one of your brother or sister Sangha members and take 5 minutes to appreciate the state of a toothache. And just like that, as I listened to all the things that weren't wet and didn't hurt or ache, I noticed myself feeling light and undeniably happy. It was still raining and my feet were damp, but my attention was no longer a constellation of what was wrong. Once again, I realized that it wasn't the dampness. It's never the dampness, and that doesn't mean I would choose to wear wet shoes or go back to this village. Dampness isn't miserable. It's just dampness. That's it. That's all. At its most basic, meditation is about watching thoughts without identifying them. You notice the mind activity itself and that you have a choice. You've always had a choice about where you want to direct your attention. You can engage with the content of your thoughts. So I love this because last night when I came to bed, I opened the bathroom door and my husband was laying in bed. It was about 11 o'clock. And we have 3 throw blankets on the end of my bed. And then I have like 6 decorative Euro pillows and decorative pillows on the top half of my bed. And I came out of the bathroom and I looked around and I went, oh, you just never get in bed to go to bed the right way. You always leave the blankets at the end of the bed. And my husband said, well, I took off the pillows at the top of the bed. And I suddenly realized that I had totally been focusing on the wrong thing. That the blankets were just blankets. Like this was just a situation and I had not chosen to focus on a positive thing. I kind of had a humbling moment there and needed to apologize and do better about focusing on the good. And so I've really tried to do that just in today alone. So as you can see, like I'm even catching myself with these, you know, these focuses that aren't necessarily bad, but I'm not really focusing on what is good. So my state of non-toothache. So I want you guys to think about that as we close for the day, that what we focus on will be how we feel, you know, our thoughts. What thoughts do we want to engage in? The blanket still being on the end of the bed or the pillows being taken off the top of the bed? And that will cause, you know, your life to be that much better or that much worse by what your focus is. I hope that you guys enjoyed quotes from Jeanine Roth. I think she is amazing. I'm excited to read some of her other books. She has another one called Women, Food, and God that I really would like to read. I will link this book in the show notes so you guys can click on it and maybe get yourself a copy. It's totally worth the read. It's a great light read and I have so many pages tabbed and highlighted. So thank you for listening to some of my favorite quotes from there. If any of these ideas or this content or these quotes have touched you in any short sort of way, or maybe you have thought of somebody as you have listened to this podcast, please share it with others and please leave us an iTunes review. It may just change someone else's life and it will definitely help our podcast to be listened to more and be shared more. And that's what I'm here for, is to share this knowledge with other people and help other people better themselves. I would also love to know your thoughts about how you keep a balanced life in your body and mind, and leave me a comment below in the show notes to start a conversation, and I will always respond to you, and I would love some comments and some reviews. And finally, head over to our website, adagiofit.com, and sign up for our last 2 monthly coaching classes. Remember that up until the week before class, they're free. And then after that, they cost. But they are totally worth the $10 cost because you get a whole bunch of freebies with the class. And they are stellar classes. And we get to do Q&A at the end of them. And you learn so much. So I can't wait to see you in class and talk with you all next week. Thanks, guys.